Thank you, Juliana. She was sitting in the at the piano in the 8:30 service before the service started. So I walked over to her and I said, "Are you singing this morning?" She said, "Yeah." You said, "You singing during the offering?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Is it an original song?" And she said, "Yeah, I wrote it last week while you were preaching." It's good. It's good. Good job. A beautiful song. She said, "Something you said inspired me to write that song." And I've seen a lot worse taking place during the sermon than someone writing a song. I found bulletins with grocery lists on them. I found a series of notes that teenagers were writing one time, and one of them said, "What is he talking about?" And the other one said, "I don't have a clue." And so, Juliana, you blessed us today. We appreciate you so much. This is our third week in this series entitled The Church. And so the first week we looked at the foundation of the church. Last week we looked at the fellowship of the church. And today I want us to look at the function of the church. So just by way of recap, the first week we talked about Jesus being the foundation of the church, in which he looked at his disciples and he said, "Upon you, upon Petra, your small stones that are formed together, joined together to form a large rock, upon you, Petra, small stones, I will build my church." And so we looked at Jesus being the foundation of the church. And so let me just remind you that Jesus is the foundation of this church. Jesus is our rock that we cling to. Then last Sunday we talked about the importance of fellowship in the church, that it's important for us to be united together in fellowship and connected together as the body of Christ. It's us living in community together, a caring people, a loving people who are bound by a certain set of truths and a common interest. It's imperative that Jesus be our foundation. It is important that we're bonded together in fellowship, that we practice and prioritize fellowship. So today, I want us to see how the church functions. What is the function of the church? You see, the church is the body of Christ. And in order for a body to do what it is intended to do, the body must function together. The body must produce. Your body was not meant to be a couch potato, but your body was meant to be productive. Your body was meant to produce. The body of Christ is meant to produce. The body of Christ is meant to glorify God. That is our function at Lizella Baptist Church. It is to bring glory to Jesus in all that we do, in our worship, in our outreach, in our discipleship, in all that we do. We hope to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus in this church. So how are we to function? What is the function of the church? Well, we're to know the foundation. We're to practice fellowship, and we're to understand the function of the church. So if you brought your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll begin reading in verse 12. And if you're there, say amen. Paul writes, "Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body. And so it is with Christ. For we've all been baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether it's Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free. We were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many parts. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would be not for that reason to stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not be for that reason to stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would its sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would its sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." So verse 21, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but its parts, listen, should have equal concern for each other. If one part of the body suffers, then every part suffers with it. If one part of the body is honored, then every part rejoices with it. 15 times in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul compares the church to a human body. That's what we are. We are the body of Christ. Now, here's something that it's really important that you understand this morning. When the eternal Son of God stepped out of heaven down into the earth, he was given a body, a human body. He dwelled on this earth, Jesus did, in a physical human body. That was body number one for Jesus. For 33 years, he lived in this human physical body. It was in this body that Jesus was born. It was in this body that Jesus performed miracles. It was in this human physical body that Jesus walked on water and taught parables. It was in this human body that Jesus was taken to the cross and nailed to the cross and was crucified and died a physical death. It was in that human body that the Lord Jesus was placed in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, it was that same physical human body that was resurrected. And then days later, with that same physical human body, Jesus was ascended back to heaven. That was body number one for Jesus. He lived in that physical human body for 33 years. But once that physical human body of the Lord Jesus went back to heaven and was ascended, God, listen, no longer had a comparable representative on the earth. Once Jesus was ascended, God no longer had a comparable representative on the earth. And so then God established for Jesus body number two. Jesus called that body the church. We're a body of believers. We're body number two for the Lord Jesus. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus in this world. We're not an organization of man, but we're a living organism for Jesus. We're body number two. That's what the church is. We are God's representatives in this world. That means when we come together, as we're doing now on Sundays corporately to worship, we come here to learn God's truth. We come here to be energized through the singing, to be immobilized through the teaching, to be unified together in our worship. But then when we go outside of these walls as individual members of this corporate body, we carry with us God's truth. We carry with us this energy. We carry with us this unified spirit. And so we're going out there and we're being God's spokesman. We're being God's representative in this lost and dying world, because in this world, we, the body, are the hands and feet of Jesus. Do you understand that? Say amen. All right. So all of us can understand this image, this analogy of the church being a body. And it's easy to understand that your body is made up of different parts. You've got fingers that comprise the hand, you've got wrist, you've got arms, you've got a chest, you've got legs, you've got a waist, you've got a neck. All these different parts comprise one body. That's what Paul says about the church. He says, we're baptized by one spirit into one body. That's the reoccurring theme in these verses, the word one. And so Paul is writing here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he said, since we're members of the same body, individual members of one corporate body, we're to give the same care for one another. We're to function in unity so that this body can do what it's been, what we're put here to do.
That's what Tony Evans says it better than I could say it. He says, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He has a purpose for you here on the earth that is much bigger than your individual salvation. You were born into a community of believers when God saved you, and He wants you to function in that community. And so every single one of us, we're part of this one body called Lozella Baptist Church, and it takes all of us individually to come together corporately to form this one body. Here's what this text clearly points out, is that everybody is somebody in this body. I love that about these verses. And I love that about this church. This church is made up of so many different types of people, so many different kinds of personalities, but nonetheless, we are one people. We're one body. Look at what it says in verse 12 and 13. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether it's Jews or Gentiles, whether you're bond or free, whether you've all been made to drink into one Spirit. In other words, each of us have been saved by God's grace, and the Holy Spirit has birthed us and adopted us into the family of God. We're all equal members of one body. Now, we don't all have the same gifts. We don't all have the same skill set. We can't all do the same things in the body, but we're all different parts that comprise one single body. Some have more prominent roles. Some have more prominent skill sets and gifts than others. There's some of you have less visible gifts than others. And it'd be easy to think, if you have less visible gifts, to think, I'm not as important as those who have more prominent gifts. But let me tell you today, if you think that, you could not be more wrong, because we are equally important, we're equally significant in the body of Christ. That's what Paul says in this passage. Notice what he says in verse 15. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason that it stopped being a part of the body. And so Paul imagines, and think about this. Let's say your foot looks at your hand and say, man, you got it made. I got to hand it to you. I'm all the way down here, stuck in some shoes and some socks, and I get all sweaty and I get all stinky. I'm just a foot. I've got bunions and I've got corns and I've got hair growing out of my toes. I'm just a nasty old foot. But the hand, man, you're up there. You're grabbing. You're reaching. You're shaking other hands. You're part of the action. You get to see everything that's going on. Let me tell you, a foot is just as important to the body as the hand. Anybody here ever broken your foot? You ever stumped your toe? You ever had to have surgery on your foot? You get yourself in that kind of position and you understand that the feet are really important to the body. So he says in verse 16, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason to stop being a part of the body. Imagine an ear saying, I'm not really that big of a deal and all. All I do is hear things. I get waxy. I've got some hairs growing. I'm at that point in life. I'm growing hair everywhere but where I really want to grow it. I was outside the other day, and it was a gentle breeze, and I felt something. And it was a hair, and it was blowing in the breeze, and I thought, seemed like somebody should have told me that. That I know some of y'all had to have seen it. You just weren't a very good friend to me. And so I pulled it, and I could feel it on this side of my head. It was connected all the way across my head. But imagine an ear saying to an eye, man, you got it made. You get to see things and formulate colors and shapes And people say, you have the prettiest eyes. Nobody ever says, boy, you have the loveliest ears. Nobody ever says the ears are the window to the soul. So it'd be easier to think, if you're an ear, you're not really a big deal. And my ears are becoming a big deal. And
They're growing, and it's just I'm a couple of years from being able to French braid my earlobes. I mean, that's how long they're getting.
But it'd be easy for the ears to look at the eyes and say, man, you got a sweet gig. But how many of you know your ears are important to your body? Because if you can't hear, the body can't function the way it was intended to function. So why does this ear, why does this foot have such a low self-esteem? Because all of us would agree that the ears and the feet are very central, important to the body. Imagine someone in the church saying, you know, I don't possess these high-profile gifts like some people have. I just have the gift of helps, and I'd rather be in the background. I have the gift of intercessory prayer. I have the gift of service. I don't ever get to get on the platform and do anything in public. I'm not on any committees. Nobody really knows me very well in the church, and the truth is I don't feel like I matter in the church very much. If you tell yourself that, that is not the truth, because God has placed you here and your skill set for a purpose. God has gifted you specifically for this body. You are a vitally important member of this body. You are definitely somebody in this body. If we just had a body full of eyes, this wouldn't be a very effective body. If we just had a body full of hands, this body could not function the way that it was intended. We have to have ears and we have to have feet, because ears and feet are central to the body being able to function the way it needs to function. So that's what he says in verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Those are great questions that Paul is posing here. If the body were just an eye, it could see great, but it couldn't hear, it couldn't reach, it couldn't walk, it couldn't do anything. It wouldn't be a very good body. If the body were just hands, it wouldn't be a very effective body. But in the body, you have to have different members who have different purposes in order to make the body more effective. I need my feet. They may not be the prettiest things in the world, but if I lost my feet, I guess I could try to learn to walk on my hands, but I wouldn't be a very effective body walking on my hands. My ears mean a lot to me. I find them to be very helpful and very important. And someone in the church, you may think, well, I don't have these gifts. Like, I can't sing like Jeremy does or Christina does or Sharon Cater does. I can't teach Sunday school like Ron Gaines can or Paul Kelly can or Tommy Neesmith can. I can't do this and I can't do that like so-and-so can. And so I don't think I'm as important as those people. Listen, everybody here is significant in this body. We need feet just as much as we need hands. We need ears just as much as we need eyes. So here's what he says in verse 18. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if they were not all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So he says, God has placed every part of our body exactly where he wants it to be. Imagine if your eyes were where your ears were, you'd have to read like this. And say, I gotta stop reading because I got a crick in my neck. Imagine if your ears were your eyes were, and you say, I didn't hear you, what'd you say? No, God has put everything in its place just the way he desires for it to be. And maybe there's some in this Corinthian church, they're thinking less of their gifts than they should have. Or maybe there's some that think more of their gifts than they should have. And that's why the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to write verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Now think about it this way. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Is this going okay? Okay, y'all help me out. I mean, just affirm me a little bit. Imagine this. We have people in this church. They're gifted. They're out front leading. If I could mention some of our leaders' names, and you would say, yes, I know him. He's super talented. I could mention this lady who does this in this church, and you say, oh yeah, I know her. She is a high-profile leader. And if I were to mention certain names, you would associate them with being leaders of this church. But let me tell you this. Those who are out front leading would be foolish to think that they could lead effectively were it not for the ones who are serving in the shadows helping them lead. Does that make sense? Think about it this way. Inside of your chest beats your heart. Your heart is protected by your sternum. Your heart is protected by a layer of skin. Your heart is not meant to live outside of the body. What makes your heart function is that it's protected. If it ever goes unprotected, then your heart will not survive. And if your heart would not survive, you will not survive. You can probably live without a hand. You can probably live without a foot. But you cannot live without a heart. So what's the point that I'm making here? You know, as a pastor, you see me out front leading. You hear these sermons that the Lord helps me to preach, and so you get to hear these sermons weekly. I preach them weekly. It's weekly with an A, by the way. It's not, anyway, so you typically, on a given Sunday, you're going to see me, you're going to see Jeremy, you're going to see Rick, you're going to see JC, you're going to see Tony, you're going to see Sheila and Sharon and others, Neil and Kenneth. We're leading out front. It's what God has called us to do. But let me tell you this. We're not the heartbeat of this church. The ones that you see out front who are leading, we're not the real heartbeat of this church. I'm going to say, preachers and staff members are a dime a dozen. Don't amen that. That's a terrible time to amen. I could leave, and in 2 months later, you'd say, Chris who? Jeremy could leave, and 2 months later, we're saying, Jeremy who? Rick could leave, and 2 months later, I'm begging him to come back. It's just, listen, we're not the real heroes of this church. The real heroes of this church, it's like Kenneth Knight, who comes here about 6:30 every Sunday morning, and he unlocks about 30 doors. He turns about 50 lights on. He adjusts about 10 thermostats on his way to the medical center to work. That's a hero of this church. The real hero of this church is Gary and Faye Bryant. They get here before I do. They get here about 7:20 every Sunday morning to make sure the sanctuary and the bulletins and the offering plates are where they're supposed to be. The real hero of this church is Vicki Wren, who puts on Facebook every Sunday morning how excited she is to be a part of Lizella Baptist Church and how she's looking forward to worshiping with her church family. The real heroes of this church are people like Steve Ford, who never gets to sit with his wife. He's always doing the sound. The real hero are the ones who are doing the slides every Sunday morning where we can worship, and it just seems seamless that the slides are moving in coordination with the music, and it's just seamless. The real heartbeat of this church are the ones who right now are serving in the nursery and the children's church are wondering, I hope Chris doesn't go long today. The real heroes of this church are the ones who tell me and our church leaders, I pray for you every day. The real heroes of this church are the ones who tell me, is there anything you need me to do? I just heard that Johnny Perkle passed away. Is there anything you need me to do? Do they need help? Do they need food? Do they need money? What do they need? Those are the real heroes of this church. We may not ever see their service, and we may view their service as invaluable, but can I just tell you, as a leader in this church, their service is vital. Because we could not lead the way that we lead without the people who are serving, without fanfare, without applause, without any recognition. The leaders of this church could not lead without the ones who are serving faithfully in the backgrounds. Now, it's God has placed me here to preach for you, and I do my best to preach every Sunday. But I'm fully aware that while I'm doing what God has called me to do here, in this environment, I'm able to do it because there's nursery workers who are rocking babies so that young couples could be in here this morning. There are leaders who are teaching children's church so young families could be in here this morning. I know that there's some of you who are in attendance today. You're here because a Sunday school teacher contacted you this week. So, man, I haven't seen you for the last couple of weeks, and you're here today because of that. You're here today because a deacon called you and said, I've been missing you the last few weeks, and so you came today because somebody contacted you and said, I haven't seen you in some time. The secret of the success of La Salle Baptist Church are not the members who minister in public. It's the members who minister in private that allows the ones who do in public what they do. Does this church need a pastor? I hope we do. But let me tell you this. This pastor needs you much, much, much more than you need this pastor. And so understanding this is the truth of what Paul is writing in this scripture. Everybody needs everybody in this church. And so we better care for everyone who's a part of this church. And we better be careful with everyone who's a part of this church. That's why Paul says we should have equal concern for one another. And let me finish with this last verse this morning, verse 26. If one part suffers, then every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, then every part rejoices with it. Here's what that means, simply. If one of our members falls down, then we fall down on our knees with them. If one of our members succeeds, then we rejoice with them. We cheer them on, knowing that a win for them is a win for us all. It's not a perfect illustration, but you picture a baseball team. Baseball team is tied in the ninth. A pinch hitter comes out of the dugout, and he stands at the plate, and he hits a home run. Even though he hadn't played the whole game, it's not like the other members are sitting in the dugout going, he hadn't done anything to contribute to this win. But all the members come out of the dugout, and they stand at the plate. And when he rounds those bases and come to the plate, they're ready to rejoice with him because a win for him is a win for them all. The flip side of that is, if you're on a baseball team and somebody throws a pitch at one of your players' chins, and that pitcher charges the mound, guess what happens? That whole bench clears out. Because if you hurt one part of the team, then you mess with the whole team. That's how it is in the body of Christ. It takes us all. If a tear comes from one of our eyes, it takes a hand to wipe it. If the mouth says something good and righteous, then the heart rejoices with it. It takes us all to comprise this body. And you may think you're not as important as some, and you may think you're not as significant as some, but I'm going to tell you this. Everybody is somebody in this body. You matter to us. You mean a great deal to us. And let's work together and help this body function the way God has designed for it to function. Let me pray for us. Well, my friend, if you're here today and you need a church and you're not a part of a church, or maybe you've been attending La Salle Baptist for some time and you're looking for a family that you can share your life with, and you're looking for somebody who, when you're down in the trenches, will be down there with you, and when you're on the mountaintop, will be up there with you. I'm going to tell you this morning, you have found such a church. La Salle Baptist is a family, and we love one another, and we care about one another. And when one hurts, we all hurt with it. And so if you're looking for a church today, and God is leading you and calling you, and that this is the place, in just a moment we're going to stand and we're going to sing, I invite you to come and say, Chris, I want to be a part of this church. We will rejoice with you. But I'll tell you this, the greatest need in your life is not a church. The greatest need in your life is a Savior. If you've never given your heart and your soul to the Lord Jesus, today is the day. The Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. You come. Just a moment, we're going to sing. We're going to stand. And I invite you, you come down and you say, Chris, I want to be saved today. I want to be a Christian today. I would love to tell you today how you can come to know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe there's a need in your life and you just would like somebody to pray with you and come alongside of you, I'll be standing down front. JC will be down here as well. You come find one of us. It's an honor to preach to you, but boy, I'd be privileged to pray with you today. Whatever the Lord's leading you to do, you be obedient to His voice. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you stir our hearts for Christ's sake? In His name we pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? I'll be standing down front. JC's going to be on this side. You come as the Lord leads.